Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today's Thursday. Now, if you were watching Monday, you might have heard me tell a story about a mysterious cloud that was found on Mars, that scientists were trying to figure out what it was. And my videographer tells me that you may have been hoping Thursday would be the day when I revealed what the cloud was made of. Unfortunately, I was getting my information from This Hour Has 22 Minutes, which is a comedy show. And so what they said was that scientists had discovered it was just that the Martians had selected a new pope. Unfortunately, I don't think that's true, funny as it might be, and nobody really knows what the cloud was. So if you were watching today simply to learn what the cloud was made of, I am sorry to disappoint. Well, that story about smoke was meant to introduce us to this week's topic, which was about God leading his people Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, towards freedom in a promised land. And he did that. He showed his people that he was with them and guiding them by having a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to show them where to go, which was a strange place to go because he led them out into the desert rather than by the most obvious path. And he led them into a trap, essentially, a cul-de-sac where they couldn't escape. And this was all too tempting for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who came after the Israelites again to try to recapture or destroy the slaves that he lost. These pillars were a very visible, tangible sign of God's presence and guidance with the Israelites. And I think it goes together that this was a big, bold sign because the Israelites were being asked to do some big, bold things. They were being asked to escape from slavery in the first place, which sounds as dangerous as it is, and they were being asked to make themselves quite vulnerable in the process by going by the unbeaten path and by allowing themselves to become trapped by camping by the Red Sea, kind of hemming them in, meaning they were trapped if the Egyptians come after them, which of course they did. He was asking them to really trust him. He wanted the Israelites to really trust him and to do what he said, even if it didn't make sense, even if it seemed dangerous. So since he was asking for big, bold things, he gave them big, bold signs that he was with them and guiding them. Now, this is the kind of thing many of us would say we long for in life. We wish we had these big, bold signs of God's presence and guidance in our lives. As we face decisions in life or we face trials, we can sometimes say, you know, I just wish God would just show me some kind of a sign. I wish I just knew exactly where God wanted me to go and that God was with me this whole time. I can appreciate that kind of longing. I've experienced that myself. It speaks to the tension that many of us experience between acknowledging that God is everywhere, omnipresent, people used to say, acknowledging that, and that God is spirit, and that God is not an object or a thing, and yet acknowledging that we are located in space and time, and we long for a connection to God in ways we understand. We can be a little jealous of the Israelites sometimes, thinking, you know, why did they get that experience and we don't? But we do. What God did with the Israelites in showing himself very tangibly, visibly, guiding them, is something that God did a few times in history, but that God did most powerfully by coming to earth in human form as Jesus Christ. He showed himself as the ultimate in understandable things for us human beings. Not just as a mysterious cloud that we can never quite figure out, even though we know it's from God, but God actually came as one of us who we could talk to in our human languages, who we could touch, who we could interact with in the ways we interact with other human beings. And when Jesus left this earth and ascended to join his Father in the kingdom of heaven, he didn't leave us without any further tangible connection to him. He left his Holy Spirit. He made it possible for us to turn to him, to accept him and his sacrifice, such that his Holy Spirit becomes a part of our lives, the center of our lives, residing in our hearts. God did this incredible, amazing thing where he came to earth as one of us. And what he did was an incredible one-time act. He died so that we could have life, something we explored at Easter, how he was the Passover lamb, all the incredible symbolism around what he did in dying on the cross and then rising again to new life. It's incredibly meaningful, it's incredibly powerful, and it was a huge, tangible sign that God was with us and that God was leading us somewhere. He's leading us to his kingdom. He's leading us to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has gone before, and he's inviting us to follow. He's inviting us to live in his way, to follow him by living according to his kingdom now, so that when his kingdom comes in its fullness, we are ready. See, he continues to lead us, not through a pillar of cloud and fire, but through his Son, Jesus, and his Spirit. These things can feel quite ordinary to us, simply because they've existed for some time now, and if you've been following Jesus for a while, you might think, well, that's not a big, bold sign like cloud and fire. But it is, and it was. Imagine 2,000 years ago. And I hope that this Easter was an opportunity for you to experience afresh the power of what God did in coming to earth as Jesus, dying for us and rising again. We don't ever want to dismiss that or forget that, thinking that it's just ordinary. It was extraordinary, far more extraordinary than a bit of smoke or a bit of fire. Now, to help us practice God's presence, we want to find tangible reminders in our lives that God is with us and God is guiding us. It takes some practice. It's not something that always comes naturally. We don't always have these big explosive miracles around us. But we want to remind ourselves of the big explosive miracle that makes a relationship with God through Jesus Christ possible in the first place. And so that's kind of your challenge for this week, is to find a way to practice God's presence and guidance in your life, to notice where it is, when it's happening, and where God is leading you. So to do that, I want you to identify something, could even be something kind of ordinary in your life that you see or experience regularly, that you can intentionally make your pillar of cloud or fire, that will remind you to say a little prayer to God, to say, thank you, God, or guide me, God, where should I go, what should I do? And then to listen and pay attention for where God is working, where God is with you, where God is guiding you. So think of what it is. For some people, it might be something in nature. For others, it might be something beautiful. For others, it might just be something ordinary and everyday that they can thank God for and that they can use to remind them to connect themselves to God and to be aware of his presence and guidance. So it's at once paying attention and then listening for God's guidance in your life. Figure out what that is. Practice it for at least a week. Be intentional about it. Every time I see that, I'm gonna ask for God to guide me. Every time I see a traffic light, every time I see a bird, every time I see whatever it is, make it your touch point that reminds you to pray, to ask for God's guidance. That's your challenge for this week. Maybe you can discuss with your discussion group what that's going to be for you. Have a great discussion as you do. And I'll see you tomorrow as we pray and reflect about this topic and get ready for a weekend of rest and community. Bye for now.